Hello, everyone, and welcome to Linux the Rest of Us, episode 166. This is a show about Linux. We talk about all sorts of hardware, software, whatever tickles our Linux fancy. Yes, I'm using that again. And by me using that again, I'm talking about myself, Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, and I am greeted here once again by my good friend, the Linux maven, the door-to-door geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Dor?
I'm doing pretty good, but I had no idea you were going to pull a sneak attack on an ice machine last week. Touche, sir. Touche. You got me.
That's right. For those of you who aren't following me on Google+, it's just Cody Cooper on Google+. I had at least one photo, if not two. That night was pretty interesting. By an ice machine. And yeah, it could happen anytime, anywhere. I'm not even at Linux Fest, and all of a sudden it's like, why is he at a hotel? Why is he standing next to the ice machine? It can happen at any moment. So if you're not there, not only do you get ice machine photos from me on Google+, you get a variety of news and opinions. And even today I threw out a poll about HBO, nonetheless. If you want to know what that's about, hit me up there, and you can see what that poll was about.
Yeah, and that's one.
Go ahead, sorry.
And I just want to throw out there real quick, anybody listening to this show, if there's any conference or festival of any type, even dog grooming festival, I don't care, shoot me an email, tell me a line or two about the festival and a website or a proposed date, because I want to expand my
horizons.
I want to go to more festivals, period, and more Linux festivals, yes, but all kinds of festivals. Well, maybe not dog grooming festivals, but, you know, other kinds.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So, Dor, it's been a while since you and I have been on the show together.
Testify.
Our good friend Martin Obando has been filling in. I appreciate that. And we've had I've had some technical issues, which I've since murdered and thrown in the street, but they're all done with. But yeah, a lot of good content coming out lately. But let me know, what have you been doing the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks without me? How have you been managing? You look very disheveled.
I've been waiting on you.
I know.
And I've not been shaving.
Not 4 or 5 weeks worth. This is 4 or 5 weeks worth for me.
Because I have to prep for OLF. I have to have that mean, angry, old neckbeard look when I go to a festival.
See, he has such an entourage of folks. He has such a huge...
Dude!
He has such a huge fan base. He needs to actually grow facial hair, which just scare you off.
Dude, I don't want to kick you off this show.
You can't. You don't even know how. So here's the thing. He really is... He's like... Right behind the barbed wire, what might look like a rough exterior, he's a warm teddy bear full of caramel and love. So I urge you, any festival you do see, just go up and coyly ask him, are you the door-to-door geek? And he'll say yes, and just give him the biggest hug you possibly can.
Are you drunk?
He loves close spaces.
You're drunk already, ain't you?
No, I don't even have any beer this week in the house. It's all gone.
Well, let's introduce the guest. He's getting bored. He Okay. We keep talking like this, he's going to leave.
No, he's fine.
I've already left. I just put a screenshot on the camera. Yeah.
So we do have a guest this week, and talking about a site that I got to tinker around with a little bit today, and it sounds like a very interesting project. Hugh from distroshare.com is here. How's it going today, Hugh?
Good. How are
Good.
You?
Good. Now, I was unfamiliar of your project until 48 hours ago. And I've since gone on there and really tinkered around a bit. And I found it very fascinating. When I first heard of it, I thought it was something else. But then I got to reading it and talking with Dor, and I found out it was something even better. So tell us a little bit what distroshare.com is all about.
Okay. Well, I guess it's turned into more than one thing. But what I wanted it to be is a way for people to share their systems, whether, you know, they did some configurations specific for a laptop or a desktop. Or, you know, they added some software that other people would find useful. And so a lot of times you look online, you're trying to do something, and you find these recipes on how to do it, and that may or may not work for you. So I just want to make it foolproof for people to just be able to download and install something that just worked. So it started with my Acer C720, which is a Chromebook. And I like it a lot. I like it even as a Chromebook, but I really want a Linux on it, so... I did a lot of things to get it pretty good in Linux, and I wanted to share that rather than just sharing a bunch of recipes. So that's what I did. I made an installable distro out of my system, and then I shared it on DistroShare. Well, I made DistroShare first.
There you go.
Then I put it
credit
there.
Where credit's due. So correct me if I'm wrong, but you're using a tool within a version of Black Lab Linux, which itself is based on, itself by, I mean, the tool is based off of RemasterSys. Uh-huh. So you're literally making, like, for instance, you're installing Linux on a system. In this case, one of many that's not available on the site is the Acer Chromebook, the C720, the current 11-inch non-touchable Chromebook made by Acer. Okay, you're adding extra tweaks to it, extra software, and perhaps taking software out, basically taking a snapshot of it, as it were, putting that available on the site, knowing that it's going to work for that hardware spec, and making it available for download.
Yeah, so I did start with the Black Lab Image Creator, which is based on RemasterSys, as you said. But recently they decided that they no longer want it to be free. So, well, they want a donation, $50, before you can get the source.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So I actually made my own script, which is on GitHub.
Oh, very nice.
And it's based off of this guide I found on the Ubuntu wiki somewhere.
Very cool.
I have that linked on the GitHub. So I call it the DistroShare Ubuntu Imager.
Well, there you go.
So it does the same thing. So it makes an installable copy of your current system and tries to, and doesn't include the files you don't want to include. So it doesn't include your home directory or the things you wouldn't want to share.
Just like configurations for hardware.
Yeah, configurations for hardware. It really just makes a clone of your system. So it doesn't reinstall the packages. It just clones the system, copies it somewhere else, and then makes an ISO out of it.
Yeah, this is the same tool I used years ago, because when I first would boot up my distribution, either I had to, you know, hassle with the Wi-Fi, or I had to, you know, do something to get everything to work seamless, and then I would make the ISO, take the ISO, burn the ISO, completely butcher my operating system to where I couldn't fix it because I didn't know what I was doing, take the ISO and reinstall it back onto my computer.
Right. It's pretty useful to do that just to make a backup of your system.
Well,
it's pretty cool.
Exactly. And when I first saw your site, I said, there's a lot of words on this site. I'll read this later. I'm not a reader. And then you were on Tilts. Now it's 2 weeks ago from the time we record, probably closer to three by the time this show gets published. To be honest, one of the things that I really love about that show is when they decide they're going to talk about a topic or bring somebody on, they go through it completely. So I really got a good understanding of what you guys are doing. And the only way I can put it to the layman's is, I'm a firm believer you should always shoot for the niche when you're installing a Linux distro. Try to get as close to your needs as possible so there's the minimal configuration after the fact. If you think you're going to do artwork, you go for a artwork distribution and then expand from there. You're taking that concept, and instead of putting it towards use case, you're putting it towards hardware platform. And honestly, I think that's genius.
Thank you.
Because if I could have, when I first got Linux, went to your site, looked up my Dell XPS 1210M, whatever, and just downloaded the ISO and put it on and didn't have to worry about if what was going to work, can this work? It would just work.
Right. You would know it works. And you wouldn't, actually, I think it could change some purchasing decisions if you knew ahead of time what worked well.
Of course.
You would buy that
laptop. So here would be the two questions I would ask you. What can everyone, because there's no doubt in my mind, this is what I'm believing, your script and these tools that you are taking advantage of, whether it's a Ubuntu-based distro, Arch-based distro, or Fedora-based distro, what can we as users do to help you expand the offerings that you have? And if we can't do that, how are other ways that we could help you out?
Oh, well, thanks. I guess just submitting distros, if you did something interesting, to make your distro work well on your system, that's really what I'm going for. So you can make an installable distro with the tool I created or with other tools out there. And I'm also accepting distributions that are not geared towards specific platforms anymore, hardware devices anymore, because lots of people have expressed interest in just posting their distribution. So I've been doing that too, and there's already DistroWatch, but this allows other people to post on a different site, I guess. It has a few other features that DistroWatch wouldn't provide.
Gotcha.
But I would like to see more hardware-specific distros.
Yeah, I think that there's a big enough audience there they could do that. To be honest, if I had, and I would think laptops would probably be the best target for this, If I had more laptops, to be honest, I would install them now, but I'm going to take a shot in the dark, completely guessing here. If I install Ubuntu 14.04 and I run what is built in, I believe it's called the System Checker, which is basically a hardware diagnostic wizard that jumps through a whole bunch of hoops to test your surround sound, test your video playback, test your 3D kind of thing. If you were to install Ubuntu 14.04, have something not work perfectly out of the box, and then if you figure out what it was and figure out how to get that working, that's the kind of person who should submit a ISO, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, someone who takes the time to make their system work as perfectly as they can. That could help so many other people that have the same machine. They just upload the distro.
Well, and you're going to see a huge uptick in submissions, I would guess, because especially, I mean, with Chromebooks, because if you talk about Chromebooks versus normal laptops, usually, for the most part, the only aftermarket modification on a Chromebook you're going to see is the RAM, maybe storage, because I'm a big fan of Chromebook. Dor and I both have C710s, so I'm not a Chromebook basher when I say this, but they are essentially based on the fact that they're usually cloud based. They are somewhat disposable, whereas if you have it locked down enough and if you lost it, I mean, it sucks to lose the hardware, but there's nothing on it that isn't backed up to the cloud anyway. So people aren't, they shouldn't be jamming like 640 gig laptop, I mean, drives into this for mass storage on the go.
Sure.
So you're going to see stock hardware specs from device to device, whereas if someone bought a laptop, I mean, you know, they could do a variety of things, whether it be, you know, the internal wireless card, the RAM, the hard drive, a bunch of the different components. So I could see this being really beneficial in the Chromebook arena, and then also when potentially, when it's already happening now, but more so when we start installing modified distros onto tablets on the market.
Sure. Yeah, that would be cool. Definitely. Any device, any operating system too, it doesn't have to be Linux, so... If you did anything interesting and it's worth sharing, then you can share it there. That's the idea.
So what it boils down to is that when in kindergarten, during that sharing is caring day, you were really paying attention during that particular lesson.
I was. Well, yeah. Well, only 35 years later did that.
You're like, hey. It just clicked one day.
Better later. Yeah. Better late than never. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, and here's one of the things that honestly I didn't think of until you said it. Years and years ago, I tried my hand at what I could call very conservatively a Linux spin, because it wasn't a complete distro. I took Ubuntu, called it Podbuntu, and what I was trying to install on there was tools to help computer repair techs easily mount Windows drives, reset Windows passwords, and even run AV scans from Linux. So that's what now I'm thinking. Your site not only can be for hardware specific, but it can be, I don't want to call it task driven operating systems, but that's what I'm kind of thinking of.
Yeah, it can be anything really. So I started with the idea of hardware, and other people started submitting things that weren't at all hardware related. But so I've expanded the idea to just be any distro, any OS that anyone would want to share.
Okay, well, I'm going to upload. See, and that now I'm going to have to use your tool, because right now, I have a VM infrastructure. Long story short, I do all of my audio editing inside of a VM where I literally turn off all of the updates. So I know every time I boot that OS, I have the exact same thing I had the last time. And it's based off of Tango Studio because it has a real-time kernel option. Okay. So and it has Jack, and in the virtual environment, I don't have to worry about Jack. It's always going to work. So since that's a Debian-based system, do you think your Ubuntu tool can take that virtual OS and turn that into an ISO?
I haven't tried Debian, so I probably not. There are tools for Debian to do that kind of thing, but I haven't experimented. Each distro would require some work to make sure that this script or something similar would work.
Okay, well, if you want to, I don't expect you to know the answer now. Feel free to shoot me the tool name later, and I will be happy to give that a shot and try to upload that. Because to be quite honest, I'm a huge fan of task or workflow-driven operating systems, just because this is Linux. We could have our work OS, our play OS, our after activity OS, our like kids OS, our wife OS, and they can all be a unique experience because everyone has different needs.
Right, and there are tons of distros, and that's, I mentioned DistroWatch, they're all listed on DistroWatch, or most of them. So there's a billion, I don't know how many.
There's a lot.
There's so many.
Yeah, DistroWatch right now, I want to say 300 and it's about 60 or 80 active distributions. We have a couple friends that are over there helping out with their podcast, and Sonar GNU Linux just got listed on DistroWatch. So it's quote unquote official now.
It's real. It exists now.
Yeah. I'm a real boy.
Jonathan's cool. Made it.
Yes.
Before I forget, Hugh, I wanted to ask, you said that the tool, the way it runs right now, doesn't also install the correct packages. Is that right?
What I meant is that it really just clones your system. It's not like it creates a specialized environment that it installs the packages straight from the repositories. It just does an rsync, basically.
Right.
It copies all the files you have on your hard drive and makes an ISO out of it.
Got it. Okay, yeah. The reason I asked that, I kind of got the gist of what you're saying, but I wanted to make sure that there weren't going to be any issues if they didn't happen to go out and get the packages separately. But it's literally like almost like a snapshot of exactly your machine on that hardware as it is. You put it on any other hardware from that line or the exact specs, and it's just going to work as if you were sitting there at your machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I'll say, here's the other reason why Linux rocks. All of my user land configuration, like all of my Firefox add-ons, all of my configurations for FileZilla, they're all stored in my home directory. So this tool ignores the home directory. So I don't have to worry about my personal stuff.
You wouldn't want to share that with the world. You wouldn't want to share your home directory.
Right.
So somebody on the show also wouldn't be wanting to share his web history.
Don't point towards you like that. What's wrong with you?
Well, he's past you. They can't see this. Yeah. This is.
So this is the kind of thing that you really don't have to worry about putting up personal information with, this kind of thing. The tool is geared to anonymize, I think is the right word. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does the best it can to just exclude all the files you don't need to share. Gotcha.
So you said this could work on any OS. Are you seeing a huge surge of customized Windows 8 environments?
Dude. I am. No. It can't work on any OS. So this tool really is, I'm sure it's Ubuntu specific because it uses the Ubuntu installer.
Got it.
Ubiquity.
So, You boot it up and then you see the same Ubuntu type installer. It asks you to pick your language, your location, all that stuff.
Right. I mean,
it wouldn't be hard to do for other distributions. I just haven't had the time to do
that. Gotcha. Well, here's a stupid question I'll ask you. What was the inception of this? What kind of itch did you first think of before you said, I'm going to sit down and do this?
Yeah, it really was the Acer. So, like, I found all these tutorials out there, and they really helped, and I use them. But some things that I did that were extra, like, I ported the Chrome OS mouse driver to Linux, and I just felt like I did all this work, and it would just be nice to share it so people don't have to go install it all themselves.
Yeah, see, this is my typical problem with any a forum. You find somebody who has the same issue of you, sometimes you got to go down one message. Sometimes you got to go down 18 messages.
Right.
Sometimes you have to go down 250 messages until you get to the one guy who had the exact same problem you had and is able to fix it and like told you the exact correct steps on how to do it.
Right. If you can find it. Sometimes you can't even find it.
Right. And
sometimes the information's out of date.
Right.
Or it just doesn't apply to you.
And it takes really some forward thinking to not only, I mean, on one hand, you know that if you yourself are going to have to run into that issue again, that you would have already had it archived somewhere that you can find. But I ran into an issue along with many other people with the HP DV series, the DV2000, 6000, 8000, with those horrendous issues with the graphics card essentially killing the Wi-Fi. There is a way to get the Wi-Fi card working through the terminal, but it's like a multi-step process, and you need to do it every single time you boot the machine. So there was a guy who did something like you did, thought, you know what, I found a way to get by this, but I can't just put it in one spot. So he literally made a blog, but he got that blog text from that one post, posted in like 10 to 12 different spots, to where when I eventually did find it, I found it was like the top 10 out of the top 15 Google results, all linked to the same thing. So yeah. So I can definitely see what you were going for there. And yeah, just seeing, so I haven't had time to look at every single submission that you've got, but are you starting to see, or are you yourself already working on a lot of other Chromebook versions of this? Because that to me, what I said before, seems to be like the perfect user case for this type of thing.
Right. So no, I haven't seen any more submissions for any hardware besides my own. And I do want to go for more Chromebooks. So I bought one actually with the intention of doing this, but it turns out that one wouldn't boot Linux at all.
Which one was that?
I had to return it. It's
you can be honest here.
It's a new Asus one.
The C300?
Yeah, the C300 won't boot Linux.
Well, you just okay. Martin Obando is going to be sad. He's the guy who does Rhinos. He just bought one of those for his son, but I was about to buy one like next week. So
I'm glad I saved you because I was really disappointed.
That stinks.
Good man. Yeah. So now here's a really stupid question. Hypothetically, I have a Samsung Chromebook or a Lenovo Chromebook, and I'm let's say through it, the honeymoon's over, I don't see myself using it a lot anymore as a Chromebook.
What about HP? No love for our folks over at HP?
Or an HP, whatever, a Dell, I don't care. What if honeymoon's over and I don't see myself really using it a lot anymore? Is there a way on the site I could send that to someone who might want to, who would be better equipped to look at if it's possible to put Linux on this device rather than me?
But send the whole device?
The whole device, because I guarantee you there are people out there who got a Chromebook, started using it, and then say, I don't need this.
Yeah, you can send them all right to me. It's Cody Cooper and Google Plus. I'll send you my address too.
I think that would be a little bit more tricky because you have to trust the person that you're sending it to, that, because otherwise you're not going to get it back.
Well, trust me, Hugh. Everybody can trust me.
Well, no. The main reason I said it is because I have an Acer C720. I played with Crouton. I played with the other one too, but they weren't native Linux installed on it. And I said, and I was like, this isn't really the same. It's not doing it for me. I always have to boot into Chrome anyway. And then, of course, one day my wife booted it up and it went beep, beep, beep. And she hit the button and she reverted it back to factory default. So it wiped out my install. So I didn't have the ability to figure out, can I install this natively on it? And to be quite honest, at that point in time, I would have happily sent it to someone who could have possibly worked on that to help everyone else, because I wasn't able to do it.
So
it's a good idea, but I don't know that a lot of people would feel comfortable with that.
Yeah. Now, obviously, Hugh, if you took that machine back, you did your research. It wasn't just like you couldn't do it after 10, 15 minutes and threw your hands up and took it back to the store.
Right. No, I did my research and it doesn't have the BIOS that you need, the Asus I'm talking about now, the C300. Right. It doesn't have the C BIOS, so Asus has decided not to ship
with the core boot.
Now, have you considered, is there any information that on your site? Because that could also, as we've already proven during this show, prevent possibly an incorrect purchase decision, but also let people know who's in the market for a list of compatible models. I mean, It might be like a sub part of your site, but ones that we have found you can, and ones we have you found you cannot. Mm-hmm. And then also, I'm spitballing here, but that might also be a good kind of hotbed for discussion as far as, I do have that one. I know how to install it. Thanks to you guys, now I can submit my own ISO. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm doing all the work for you here, Hugh. Well, after all the work you already did, which is...
I'm just sitting back and relaxing.
I've never seen someone more furiously write on a notepad ever than right now.
Okay, well, here's my question. What I don't understand, because owning a Chromebook, when I had to install Crouton and all this other stuff, I had to go into the CR... I almost said CR48 because I had one of them too. I had to go into my Chromebook, Control-Alt-T, terminal, boom, 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 type, Matrix style, or Project Swordfish style, dun, 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 and to get it to install. You're offering an ISO, So do I literally just put it on a USB key and boot to it?
Yes, but you do still have to do some of that matrix stuff in the terminal to enable that feature in the Chromebook.
Okay, and is that documented on...
Yeah, it's documented in a lot of places. And on my site on DistroShare, I linked to some guide on for the Acer C720 because someone asked about it. So that's another thing about DistroShare. There's comments and people can ask whatever they want and I'll answer.
Awesome. Yeah, because plenty of people out there who would like to have Linux on it might literally just need that initial hand-holding on how to do stuff.
Yeah. And, yeah, so some people didn't know how to do that, and I just linked to a cool site that had a tutorial.
That's fantastic.
That is awesome. I will put myself out there with, you know, we're helping to try to put the word out to try to get more people to do this.
Thanks.
What I would ask of you is if there's any kind of major update on the website or update on your tool set that you're using or anything like that, do not hesitate to let us know. We will do everything we can to get that word back out. Because Thank here's you. The thing that I've noticed. The site itself, I want to say, is less than 2 months old. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen a site for something Linux this young already garner this much, I'll say, respect, because honestly, I think what you're doing is a really good thing, and I think it's going to only keep getting bigger, keep getting better.
Cool. Thanks. I hope so. I just want my next laptop to be easy to install. There you go.
So that leads me to my next question. You returned the Asus C300. Did you already buy something as a replacement, or what are you thinking about buying now?
I don't know. I don't really want to buy any. I could keep buying stuff that are cheap ones and making ISOs out of them, but I don't really think that's sustainable. So I really would like other people to just upload.
Definitely, their own. Yeah, yeah. If you're bankrolling this and there's no return, then yeah, after a while that equals a loss.
Right. So I'm not really in the market for a laptop right now. I just wanted to go for the Asus C300 because it looked cool and it's not expensive.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, Asus, you're not getting my money this time around.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of disappointing. It seems like you could maybe install CBIOS, so I did some research. Although it didn't seem like anyone was successful, but someone's working on a CBIOS image for it. But you have to unscrew some Write Protect screw on the motherboard.
Yeah, back on the CR48, it was a hardware switch. On my Chromebook, I would literally need to create a short to do it. And then the brand new ones, there's just a screw. You just take it. You just have to loosen it, I believe, and then it puts it into developer mode.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you have to find the BIOS image that will work for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be one eventually. It's just it's not as easy as the Acer C720 that just has it on for you already. So you don't have to do
it. But let's face it, the return period for that laptop was probably shorter than the development time for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
So we've talked a lot about DistroShare, but let's kind of delve in a little deeper. Let's go back. Imagine this is Masterpiece Theater. Let's go back to the beginning. What got you started with Linux? Like, how long have you been using it? What was your first distro? So on and so forth.
I've been using Linux for probably 15 years. Wow. So my first distro was Mandrake. I mentioned that on the other show, the Linux
Link Tech Show.
Yeah. Yeah, I started in college just for fun, and I got pretty into it. I eventually became a Linux sysadmin, and I was handling servers and desktops. And now, for a living, I'm a software developer, and I use Linux all the time. I develop on Linux.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So are you mainly running Ubuntu now at home, or are you still kind of kicking it old school and running some, Rosa or Mandriva?
No, I'm using Ubuntu, but not Mandriva.
No Slackware? My lord.
Or Slackware. I've never used Slackware, actually. Yeah, but I've played around with a bunch of different distros. It's pretty nice how you can try all different kinds.
Yes, I agree. Very cool. All right. Well, so if this is you to this is your chance to reach the millions of people we not really but the many people
the five
no
people.
No it's more than five, trust me. listen to our show every week or who are watching live now. So dudes and ladies, especially that Ashley Anderson, he knows what I'm talking about. Stay up late to watch this live. But if you could speak directly to them, which you literally are right now, what would you say that you would like them to do in order to help you with distroshare.com?
Just if you did something cool with your current distro, just to share it, that would be very useful. That could be very useful. That's all.
And there's a...
I don't know what else you could donate to the site if you want to. I set up donations, but I would rather see more distros, actually.
Because then you get money, you need to pay taxes on it, you need to go buy the hardware, and you need to start over from scratch again doing it yourself. And it's just a vicious cycle. But yeah, so is the submission process pretty easy? Because you said you haven't got that many. Well, actually, none except for your own, yeah. Right? So
I didn't get any hardware specific ones except for my own. I've gotten a few that are not hardware specific.
Okay.
So it's becoming more like a distro watch sort of.
Okay. So it's still early, but you're streamlining that process to make it easier for folks.
Yeah, it's not hard. You go to the site. There's a share form, and you just have to fill out the form.
Cool.
You could upload your distro straight to me to DistroShare if you want to, or if you have it hosted somewhere else, you don't have to. You can just link to that file.
Very good.
Yeah, some people were kind of weary about that, like uploading to the site. There's no advantage for me. In fact, it's probably worse for me to host the files.
Right.
Yeah, but I just have that service just to make it easy. So if you didn't, because that was my initial idea, the people don't really want to share them because they don't really want to have to make a whole project out of it. So these established projects, you know, they have a website, they have email addresses, I don't know what else they have, but, you know, it's more of a real project, and there could be more than one developer as part of it. So just to casually share it was the idea, just so you could upload it.
I like that, it being more of kind of a hosting bed, and then at the same time urging people to sort of collaborate and become part of more of a supportive community.
It's kind of people haven't really done this, and some people have security concerns. You know, can I really trust an ISO that I downloaded from someone untrusted? But I don't know. I feel like you can't really trust anything. If you're going to think about it that way, I don't know that you can even trust the official image that you get. Sure, it's, you know, it's from a more trusted source, but nothing is really.
Yeah, I mean, secure. Every day I get in my car and I drive. And I trust that my car is not going to blow up, number one. A missile is not going to come in my back windshield, and I'm not going to get ran off the road. Sometimes you just got to trust.
Right. Yeah, so there's a paper from Ken Thompson about trusting trust. And so he talks about how, like, you're trusting the compiler. You're trusting the programs that make programs. And, it's not that hard to insert a program from the program that makes a program to insert a virus, and you might never know. Yeah. So even if it's open source, you might not know.
If the people really knew all the possible attack vectors, they might just not even go outside.
Yeah. Right. I might not boot my computer.
right, yeah.
But so, yeah, I review every submission though. So I don't just let people just submit anything. I've rejected a few already, actually. Because I want to make sure that what people submit are good and that it actually works.
May I ask what criteria? I mean, you have to be specific. Like, this person sent in this one thing, but like, what kind of criteria would cause you to reject a submission?
Well, I guess anything that would be extremely offensive would be rejected. But first of all, it has to work. So if it doesn't work, I'm going to reject it. And then I also scan it with Clam Antivirus just to make sure there isn't anything in there. I'm sure that's not going to get everything, but it's hard to scan for binaries that could be tinkered with, but I would hope Clam Antivirus would help with that.
Right. Well, it's good to be a little bit responsible anyhow in doing at least that. That's good.
Yeah. So anything fishy, anything that seems strange, I will reject. First I'll contact the developer. You know, for an explanation, I'm not just going to flat out reject things without talking to people.
So you're not getting anything like, you know, in Korean with a big Korean flag with the background and a bunch of anti-American sentiment that you've let through as of yet so far, right?
I haven't had to deal with that
yet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it could be big enough. You never know.
He's going
It could. I don't know. Then I'll be in the news for things that I rejected because it's not fair. I don't know. But
that's a whole other set of first world problems, which you'd probably be willing to take on. Right. So that's fine.
I don't know.
You know, like Notch has to deal with the sale of Mojang to Microsoft. You got to deal with that. So it's right. About the same.
Sure.
Minus the multi-billions of dollars.
Right. Whoa.
Okay. All right, Hugh. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say to the folks before we sort of roll on to the rest of the show?
No, I don't think so. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope people are interested in this because I think it could help a lot of people and make things easier.
I agree, and thank you for coming on the show. And like Dora said, please check in with us maybe once a month, or if we email you, make sure to get that to the top of the list because we really would like to hear how the project is doing so we can continue to support it by letting our community know what it's all about.
All right, thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. So, stupid segue question.
Here we go.
Relax, dude.
I can't wait to hear this. This is going to be great. Are you sure? If you could just get it out.
What part of the world do you live in, Hugh? And have you been to any good conferences here lately?
Please don't say Korea.
I live in New Mexico, and I actually work at Los Alamos National Laboratory.
Awesome. Okay.
But I work on is supercomputer related. So I've been to some supercomputing conferences, but I haven't been to any real Linux conferences.
Well, the way I look at it, Linux conferences are almost the niche because they're basically mostly fan driven, and every other conference involving Linux is somehow business focused or
corporate driven.
Yeah, corporate driven or like extreme task driven, like supercomputer or automobile driven. That's cool.
Industry.
Yes, exactly. Because OLF is coming up here in about 6 weeks from the time we record. Columbus, Ohio. I would encourage everyone in the area, if they do go, hit me up, mail@ponix.com. Sit down, have a beer, chat. Chat's good. I am giving a talk this year. Again, I'm doing professional podcasting. I'm tweaking the talk just a little bit. I will say two other talks that I know are happening. One, Richard Hughes, his talk on something about open...
Linux guns?
No, it's not gun-related.
Open source weaponry?
No, stop.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's...
open source aviation.
Jesus, no. It's the open... I was going to say ASP, but no, Cold Fusion. It's open source Cold Fusion distribution that he created to help people learn, I guess, old programming languages. And then Brian Wagner from LinuxInstall.net and DevOpsMastery.com, I believe it is, also is going to have a talk on DevOps. Here's a quick thing. Door don't sit in on very many talks because OCD makes me go a little ballistic and ADHD makes me keep saying squirrel. But I'm going to do everything in my power to sit in on Brian's talk because I will say this. I do believe to a certain degree, the future of server administration is going to rely on some amount of DevOps kind of thing. And when I say that, not entirely, but it's going to be there in some shape, way, or form. And Brian does seem to be very knowledgeable on that topic. So I'm going to literally be picking his brain. And then hopefully after his talk, buying him a beer and asking him more about it. So that should be very, very good times. The other people I know who are going, I will throw out there. Jonathan Nadeau is coming. The Shadow, his sidekick cohort, is coming. Martin Obando is coming. Joel McLaughlin, Pat from Tilts. Double N Dan is probably coming. Double N Dan and his daughter. We have all the local people who live by there, who we met last year, are going to be there. And like Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm completely losing track of everyone who's going to come. There's going to be a lot of people. And I want to encourage people, again, if you're coming in from out of town, try to stay at the Drury. D-R-U-R-Y. Drury. Stay there. You'll be happy. Trust me.
Yes. It sounds like a great time.
Yes. I'm sorry. You have other plans. You're busy.
I won't be making it this year. I have a newborn, and I just left for a week on a trip, and I think my wife would kill me if I went again. And, work responsibilities this year. But I'm... 2015 ain't going to stop me. I'll tell you that.
Oh, there you go. Okay. And the two things, one, I forgot to say in the beginning of the show, thinkpenguin.com. I encourage people, go to thinkpenguin.com, look at all of the hardware that they have to offer. Printers, Wi-Fi dongles, laptops, desktops. This is a company that has a goal of supporting free software, supporting open hardware, and supporting, dare I say, the open internet. I'll just go like that. If you do find something there that you like, do not hesitate. Podcast@lenoxfortherestofus.com. Email me and I will send you a coupon code. All I ask that if you do not use that code, you send it back to me so I can give it back to somebody else. Support those who support you and support those who support free software. Vote with your dollars. It's the most powerful voting tool you have, period. I'll also throw out there, we have a LastPass giveaway, don't forget. And it's really, to me, more important. I am really heavily contemplating making another set of Linux tutorial videos. I would like it if I would get more suggestions from people on what those videos should entail. My logic is all the videos should be task-driven. So how to install a BitTorrent client, how to burn a DVD, how to do a dual boot install, how to do a virtual install. What kind of things do you think people would like to know how to do on a Linux desktop? Install a different desktop, switch back and forth from different desktops. How to install Google Chrome, how to do updates, how to uninstall, you know, all kinds of different tasks. I'm going to ask people, send me those topics.
Ideas.
Yeah.
Yep.
So at least I can try to make videos that are actually wanted and desired.
Yeah, if we get a comprehensive list, and I have some ideas of my own of what you guys are looking for in a tutorial video series, or what you think a past version of yourself could have benefited from when you were a new user, please send it to maillinuxfortherestofus.com, because we really, really like your feedback. You guys know a lot more from the perspective of where you are at. I mean, there are things that we may have forgotten, like that we do every day. It's just kind of second nature. You know how it is when you get, you know, in certain rhythms. You're like, oh, yeah, there was that one time where I had a problem with that. But yeah, any feedback at all with that would be muchly appreciated. And I wanted to add in there, I'll try to make sure Martin throws a link to this in the show notes, but Think Penguin also has recently one of the very first FSF certified wireless routers available for sale on their website. Did you see that, Dor?
No, did not.
No, it was very, very cool. I can't remember the model number, but like I said, we'll have a link in the show notes. So there are a variety of items you can buy at thinkpenguin.com and support them, because they are supporting the community with keeping free and open source software and hardware to make sure that we are all protected and are getting really, really good quality products. And I appreciate Chris and all of his efforts.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just getting that link here. It looks like a flashed TP-Link router. TP-Link is one of those companies, I never heard of them like a year ago, and they're taking over like gangbusters.
What was this? I'm sorry.
Hardware manufacturer is TP-Link.
Oh yeah, no, they are a Martin Rambo Obando swears by them. Martin Tater Obando, definitely.
Right.
Martin Bubbles Obando, definitely speaks to their level of quality, and they have a huge range of products. I mean, low end, single or double antenna, all the way up to like, you know, the higher end triple antenna, you know, like wireless AC routers. So yeah, definitely go to podnuts.com/Amazon, search for TP-Link. That's TP-Link, L-I-N-K, and you'll see a variety of their products. So yeah, to see them being one of the companies that made that router possible was very cool.
Yep.
Awesome. So I got to throw this out there, Dor. This is more of a gaming question, but it's in the news. It's relative to stuff we've talked about before. You obviously heard about the large Microsoft acquisition that was officially announced today.
Yeah, I cackled hysterically.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why. Because it's all I can do. Because I know they're just going to ruin it. They're going to take it. They're going to butcher it. They're going to kill people who are doing YouTube videos about it. They're going to kill manufacturers who are making pillows and lamps and everything else after Minecraft. They're going to lock down the licenses. They're going to cut off the open architecture of it. They're going to cut off all the mods. They're going to literally turn it into a shell of what it is right now. And then in 3 years, 4 years from now, the kids growing up will have Microsoft Minecraft to play, and they're going to think, I don't know why my dad thinks this is good. This sucks.
It was a bit sad. Here's the thing. With as old as the game is, I have never played it. I've watched people play it, and to the point where I almost stayed away from it knowing that it was just going to completely consume me. But literally last week, I almost bought a license from them because I was getting ready to play it. I'm on vacation this week. I was going to start playing it like tomorrow or Thursday. But this happened now, and I'm just like, I'm done.
Timing's everything.
I was done before I even started.
Hey,
timing is everything.
I'll just put it like this. I'm not buying a Nokia Lumia, and I ain't playing Minecraft. I'm just saying.
Well, nobody buys a Nokia Lumia. You get them free with that 2-year contract.
Exactly. And then you take it on eBay or Swappa and just sell it.
That's right. Yeah. All right, poor Hugh. He thinks that we just hate Microsoft. We don't.
I do.
We don't. We're just. Oh.
I do, and it's only because all I want is competition. All I want is every other company to challenge Linux, to do better than Linux, to force Linux to try to do better than that. And right now, Apple's not, I don't feel, challenging Linux. I mean, everything they're releasing now just seems to be the same old stuff as before, just glossier, shinier, curvier edge.
But what about that new iPhone? It's thinner, too.
Yeah, sure.
We'll get to that in a second.
Microsoft did a 180, and now they're getting ready to do another 180 again with their September 30th conference to formally say, okay, Windows 9, it's coming, and here's what it looks like. They're going back to the desktop, which everyone said they were going to go back to. They don't even have the guts to stand up and stay with their thing, so they're going to go completely flip-flop in 180, and they're going to actually finally have virtual desktops. Welcome to 1994, Microsoft, is all I got to say.
It's interesting that they're still doing, they seem to be doing pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. So
they're not going anywhere.
Well, when you have a forced installed market base that can't really do anything else, then yeah, you're going to see good market share. Well,
and they make a lot of money off their server products. They make a lot of money off of cows. They make a lot of money off of Office. Tons.
They make a lot of money out of making camera manufacturers pay to be able to use certain SD card formats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the sad thing is they're making, I want to say the last number I heard, they're making 10 times more money off of Android licensing than they are their own mobile products. Mm, right. That's weird.
Here's what I will say. I don't hate them. Hate is a pretty strong word. I'm not going to support them anymore as a company. I will say, though, they got one good thing going for them.
Wait.
They've had a severe change in management. They have some new people making the bigger decisions. We could see a shift, but that's a big boat to steer. You're not going to see a huge, you know, going from quote-unquote bad guys to good guys overnight. So give them the benefit of the doubt, but by all means, use what you want to use.
I thought the most exciting thing they did recently, or that was going to be exciting, was the Surface. But it doesn't seem like that.
Have you used one?
No, I haven't used
one of each of the three. The Surface, the Pro 1, 2, and 3. And no.
Here's the thing, though. I firmly believe they're this close to breaking through with the Surfaces. Because with anything with Microsoft, their first two versions suck. It's always the third version where they break through. If they would have came out with another Surface that cost between $600 and $800 and let it run genuine Windows applications, I think it would have sold like gangbusters to where people would have purposely started making more software specifically for its use case. But
the hardware specs are there. That keyboard cover is actually pretty neat. The way it latches on to the device itself is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just don't care for it. And I'm going to kind of leave it at that. I just don't care for it.
Well, and I'll say this. You say they made a good change. To me, it wasn't good enough. To me, it was like blase, blase, blah, 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 blah. Now, if Mark Rusinovich would have been named the head of Microsoft, I would be genuinely terrified at how successful Microsoft would be in the next 5 years. But they didn't do that, so I'm not worried.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it's a much longer conversation, and I don't want to seem like we're bashing on them. But yeah, they released, there were some leaked screenshots of what the new start menu looks like for Windows 9, and it's pretty comical. You guys should go check it out. Have you seen those, Hugh?
No, I haven't seen
it. How can I use an analogy? Let's say, look, let's say you have your bed, right? And you threw some new sheets on the bed. And you own a hotel and everybody's staying at your hotel. And you threw those new sheets on the bed and everybody hated the sheets so much that they didn't want to stay at the hotel. They wanted their money back. So now you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to using the old sheets. And everybody's like, yay, we're happy using the old sheets. But then you find out that the old sheets, they're a little bit newer, but literally the awful sheets everybody hated are literally right underneath there. And you can still see them through the old sheets.
Yeah.
Well, that's the first time I've used a bed analogy.
I know. Well, it wasn't food.
So it's covered in sheets. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
What it looked like to me was they took
covered in some.
They took the full screen Metro tile interface and shrunk it down to be on the start menu.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's little tiles in there.
Genius. That's micro tiles.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great, especially if people are colorblind like me. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Can you slide the tiles around like that game?
That would be cool
for kids.
But that would also be useful. So probably not. Moving on. Speaking of sad news, my favorite Linux distro named after a Patrick Swayze character, Bodhi Linux, is no longer in official development. The main developer has basically called it quits due to a variety of life issues. Life happens. He's just too busy, and he's the only remaining one out of the founders that are left. It's no longer being developed, and it's kind of sad because that was a great lightweight distro. I installed it on many of my older laptops in the last 2 or 3 years, and it just ran like a champ. So to see it not supported now is a little sad. I hate to see those good projects that were well received and well documented and just overall well done kind of go away. But he is leaving it up to the community. We'll have a link in the show notes. If you were a fan of Bodhi or know someone who is a developer who could potentially take over one of the many reins, I'm sure, in keeping that thing afloat, definitely contact him, because he's not just killing it and saying we're done, but he just cannot maintain it by himself any longer and is looking for some really focused and good-hearted individuals to take over the project. So follow the link in the show notes, and you can potentially help continue that to be developed in the future.
Yeah, I'll say that was the only that I can think of popular distribution that defaulted with E17 Enlightenment Desktop on it. And I'll say, I always thought that had a niche, because if Linux on tablets could be installed, Bodhi on first boot would give you the option of selecting a desktop layout, and one of the layouts was tablet.
Yep.
So it was a niche, but I honestly think it's the kind of niche I would have liked to see stay around just to push Enlightenment as a desktop, because it had a great starting off point. I just hope it keeps getting users and, you know, keeps being developed.
Right. Did you ever install Bodhi, Hugh?
Yeah, I did, actually, on the Acer C720.
Oh, nice.
I thought it was nice, but I didn't feel like it was as polished as some of the other desktops, but it was good. It ran pretty well.
Yeah, it definitely came a long way during its development cycle. And it's sitting, it's just sad to see it go.
Yeah. Well, it's not gone.
Well, and potentially, see, here's the thing. When you hear about that friend of yours saying, I'm probably going to be moving out of the country soon, you're like, oh my God, that's terrible. How are we going to fill that void? You know, you immediately feel, as human beings, we always think of the worst. Like, oh my God, it's going to be gone forever. And hopefully that's not the case. So that's why I'm trying to state my case to you, our audience, and trying to help find a team of people to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So hey, Dor.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear that the Bronies won?
I'm so happy. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't you even lie. You know what a Brony is.
I do.
Dor.
Well, I don't know what they won.
They won. How did they not win?
I don't know.
Dor, come on. The newest name for the latest Ubuntu distribution.
No.
Yes. Is called Codename Utopic Unicorn.
Oh, my Lord.
So, they'll be out in droves. So here's the thing. Here's what I'm envisioning on a tongue-in-cheek standpoint. One, we're about to gain a lot more new users. On the other hand, some of them are going to be bronies. I'm fine with it.
Well, either that or they're Scottish.
There you go. Or they're big, I'm about to get this wrong. Okay, Clash of the Titans, it was a Pegasus, right?
Yes.
But Legend, it was a unicorn.
Yes.
See, this is an insight into how my brain works. And I'm sure other people have made this mistake too, but whenever I envisioned that animal, I always envisioned a horse with wings and with the horns. So like I was thinking of like something that really didn't exist, like a unipegacorn.
A unipegacorn.
A unipegacorn. But it was always one or the other. I always kind of saw him, like, you know, if we could only... I'm not even getting into it. That's just a whole other arena. But yeah, so 1410 got its official name, which means that V is next. So Hugh, if you had to put cash on it, what animal or creature, I should say, because it can be a variety of things, what creature do you think, starting with the letter V, is going to be the 1504 flagship creature for Ubuntu?
If a robot could be a creature, I would say Voltron.
Mm. Oh, my God. I almost can't even say one because that just wins. That's oh, dude, if it was victorious Voltron, I will only... I'm telling you right now, Mark Shuttleworth, if you call Ubuntu 1504 victorious Voltron, I will never install
another
flavor of Linux ever. Ever. But you can't.
You know, it kind of fits because Voltron's made of lions, right? So it's sort of a creature. I don't know.
Dude, state your case. Get it in writing. Email it to him. Victorious, I'm starting that campaign now. It's even more than 6 months away. Victorious Voltron. We got to do it. And I'm sure that Ven from Linux Gamecast would be on board with that.
I don't know. I don't want to speak for Ven.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't run Ubuntu, but if he had to, like, gun to his head, what would you name 1504?
Well,
it would have to be Victorious Voltron.
Well, he does run Ubuntu because that's the, default Steam.
It's a distro that he used. Yeah. I get that,
and I would say this. Do you know why I said Scottish people, Cody?
Because they like to eat at McDonald's?
No. Because Scotland's national animal is a unicorn.
That I did not know.
I did not know that until tonight, because I said, no, it's not. It's impossible. That's not true. I looked it up. But my Lord, it is.
Interesting. Did you know that, Hugh?
I did not
know
that.
Me and you, or you and I, and several thousand people just learned that tonight.
So apparently...
Thank you very much. I learned something.
So as long as we do that once a day, we're progressing as people.
Exactly. So apparently your national animal doesn't have to be a real animal.
Yeah.
So I guess in hindsight, if we had to do it all over again, America might not have had a bald eagle.
So victorious Voltron or vengeful Voltron, maybe something happened. Maybe he lost his sword.
Happened.
You know, maybe the Robeasts killed his parents. Could be vengeful. If that's not a possibility, I'm hoping like Venomous Viper. I think that'd be pretty cool. Just like, don't mess with me. But you know, it's going to be something like some cricket that starts at the V, and then it'll be like very, very vivacious, or it'll be like Vivacious Vicket or something. I don't know.
Velociraptor. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, my God. Vivacious Velociraptor. That'd be another good one. It'd be a sexy silhouette, but it'd be a creepy. But I'm going for Victorious Voltron. That's excellent.
Yeah. Touche.
So we're starting a petition. We're going to send it to Mark Shuttleworth directly. I'm going to mail it to him. If you have any ideas of what 1504 should be named, please send it to cody@podnuts.com, and I'll make sure to consider it in my official letter to whom it may concern at Ubuntu to make sure that we get our voice heard as far as what to name the new version of the distribution.
So have you done this kind of poll before, and have you been successful?
We haven't, but we're starting now.
You could have lied to him and said, we're the ones who said it should be called Trusty Taro.
That's true.
he wouldn't have known.
I wouldn't have known.
Well, there's 165 episodes you can go back and listen to if you get caught up and take us at our word, or however you want to do it. But yeah. It's never usually... Well, here's the thing, is that Victorious Voltron is so out there as far as possibility, you know no one else is thinking of it. So I say get those gears turning now. I'm sure they have it in development already, but man, come on. It's a very good case, though. You stated, well, that's not really an animal. Well, he's made lions. See?
Right.
Okay, all right.
You don't think Mark Shuttleworth has all the names picked out?
I do. Well, I think he has cons, but if someone were to state their case, they could have a huge cross promotion. Here's the thing. If you had, I mean...
Let me tell you something. I would buy a shirt.
I would buy everything. A shirt, hat, poster, note cards, mouse pad, coffee mug, baby bib, underwear, all the stuff on... what's that awful site with all the crap that you can... What's that?
eBay?
Cafe Press.
Yeah, Cafe Press. Yeah, Cafe. They can do Cafe Press everything. Pens. Just God. What else is around my room here?
Yeah. Cups, so mugs. Is the new Ubuntu shirt going to have a unicorn on it?
It is actually. If you here's the thing. If you think unicorn, like if I'll make sure that. Well, if you just go to ubuntu.com, it should show it. But it's not like a badass unicorn. It looks like a little pony unicorn with kind of like the anime hair, and you got the little tiny like inkling of I'm just starting to grow my horn, like it just poked through my skull or whatever. It looks like a baby unicorn, not like a unicorn just like, you know, ripped with muscles that you know is going to represent the Ubuntu community. This looks like it could fall prey to some other creatures very quickly. I think I'm looking too much into it, but
no comment.
Ultimately, I'm going to skip for it. Well, here I'm skipping 14.10 because it's not an LTS.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something really really cool happens, like Victorious or 1504, excuse me, Victorious Voltron. Yeah.
Yeah, I see a picture that looks like My Little Pony, but that can't be real. It
better not be real.
You just never know. Here, I'll post it in our chat. You guys go check this out.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing the same one you're seeing. Yeah, man, that's very bad.
There it is. Yeah, you guys can check it out. We'll have that link in the show notes. I'll make sure to get it to Martin.
Oh, my Lord, this is horrible.
I know.
I see. It's not as bad as the one.
Okay.
Here. I'll post that.
Maybe there's another one done by the community. This is the biggest. I don't know. I've gone on rants before, but this is probably like the biggest detour on this show that we've ever had. We usually don't just rant about crap like this. We have a pretty extensive note list. It's just that this week, okay, here we go. Let me check this out. Oh, no, that's terrible. If it was that, I would just drop them all together. It could be that. Who knows? That unicorn is in mid-prance, so you know. It's going to be a little something going on.
I'll just say if Mark Shuttleworth has a, oh my Lord, like a 8-year-old daughter, 10-year-old daughter, we might be getting the second one.
Little known fact, unicorn meat tastes just like cotton candy. Did you know that?
I do now.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's proven somewhere. Okay. Let's turn this back onto the road. We're over in the weeds right now. We're about to run off into the river here. Let's get this car back on the road. Door, is the rest of this stuff in yellow carried over from a previous week?
It's all just bumped, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, me and Martin were chatting and then we just went along.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay, I'm reading the notes. The notes are being updated live right now. I didn't even see this, but since I'm okay, the car is almost on the road again, and then Cody got distracted by something off, and since he's taking it back over into unicorn territory, we'll have this link also in the show notes. Canonical. Oh no, it was the same thing. Yeah. It was the same link. I just didn't read any of the text. All I could view was the image.
I'm documenting, man. I'm the documenter.
Okay. All right. Okay. But yeah. So yeah, the link I originally had was Canonical officially posted on how to make some unicorn origami. Oh, and if Door, that's right up your alley, Door.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're an origami champion.
Not with unicorns. Paper.
Let's see some origami.
It's all at work. I wouldn't dare bring it home because my kids will destroy it.
And he's not gonna do it at home in his free time. He's gonna do it when the state of Maryland is paying him for it.
What's wrong with you?
The good news is no one at your work knows how to do anything but Windows 98. Well, maybe a couple people, but they're probably on Macs, right?
Yeah.
There you go. He does them on his lunch break. It's fine. The silence speaks for itself, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just be glad you don't play poker, Door. You'd be a terrible poker teammate if you were playing doubles.
There's no such thing as doubles poker. What world do you live in?
Well, it's not doubles, but there's like team-based events, and I would know because I've actually watched poker on television. Hugh, you play much poker?
Yeah, no, okay, I don't.
See, we should start a team. We'll prove Door wrong. Okay, so Door, tell me about grabmybooks.com.
It was a link I got from Matthew Williams, Lord D. It's a tool that lets you, it's really, realistically, he said, a web plugin. But it is also a Android application that will let you basically take collections of web pages or a web page and save it out as either EPUB, Mobi, PDF, a bunch of different formats for either archiving purposes or to read later.
This reminds me of it was an old Firefox extension. God, this 5-6 years ago I used it, but you could archive an entire web page, you know, in case it went down or
right.
You know, something like that. But to have it automatically put it into an ebook format, that is gold. If you guys ever use Pocket, you know that you come across stuff you want to read on the go later, or just read later, you know, like, because Pocket was read it later.
Right.
This takes it a step further and actually puts it in a correct format to where you can view it on your tablet or smartphone device offline, which I think is fantastic because I know damn well, Dora's probably not going to utilize a lot of it because it will require a lot of reading. But I'll follow a link on G+ to a big blog post or, you know, a big instructional thing on how to do something, whether it be an installation or hardware or whatever. And I think, I'm going to read this later. But if I have to, but having it directly in the format, and I'm all about using my Nexus 7 right now. Between my Nexus 7 and my Nexus 5, I'm trying to use just those on the go. I'm trying not to carry a laptop with me anymore. My Chromebook C710 is starting to fail on me, Hugh. I'm not a Chromebook guy. I love my Chromebook, but it's on its last legs for a variety of reasons. Go back 20 episodes or so, you'll hear a wonderful story about my son getting a hold of it. But yeah, I want to, that's fantastic. That's a very, very good pick. Thank you to Lord Drakenblut for that. Have you had a chance to use it at all yet, Dor?
I don't read, no.
Well, but there ought to be articles with pictures, right?
Well, no, the only reason I would use this tool is if I came across a good tutorial, a good step-by-step thing describing something that I would like to do later. It's a good, in my opinion, documenting tool. So if I'm afraid either a website's going to die or a website's going to change, or it's just not as easy to read on the browser, then I would save it out as PDF or EPUB or something. But I honestly, I've done almost everything I can think of with my Pi, everything I can think of with my NUC, everything I can think of with my MK802. Right now I'm in a state of lull.
You just reminded me of something that I read recently, which I'm going to go look at. I'll make sure to get a link in the show notes. But speaking of everything you can do with your Pi, have you ever used it as a security system?
Yes.
In your home? Really?
No.
Come on, Dor.
No, I haven't. I don't have the other hardware because I'm sure you have to have more hardware.
Yeah. Adafruit.com, Adafruit Industries, of course, the place for all the cool Pi projects, recently posted something. I'll put a link in the show notes, but basically it's an enclosure with the camera and with a mounting plate to turn your Pi into a security system, and it can be controlled via an Android app or via the web. So if you think of, somebody we know wanted to buy a security system a few years. Was it maybe Tracy Holt or something? He sent something out. Somebody owned a computer repair shop and kind of threw it out to the community. Hey, what would you guys do for a security system? Because there are all sorts of options as far as buying, you know, just the cameras and bringing it up yourself, or buying those pre-installed kits, which can be in the thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But each Pi plus the cost of one of these and then the free software to support it, I mean, you'd be talking a very small fraction of what one of those systems would cost. So, or if you can also use it as like a baby monitor camera, or a variety of things. So if you have any need for a remote controlled camera on site in your home, or I know one of the user case scenarios was a guy kept having his car broken into, to where he mounted it on the ceiling on the inside of his car and had a couple of them pointing out different windows, so if anybody did come by, he would have and you can also set it up to be rigged to Wi-Fi, to where they can upload video or snapshots to the cloud, to where you could even if the camera was stolen, I mean, that would suck, but that way he would have definitive proof as far as who was did the awful crime.
So I recently bought an IP camera just as a baby monitor. I also have a new baby.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you. And I like it a lot. I did this cool thing where it's got motion detection, so then it sends an HTTP request to my home server, which then sends a notification to that my little XBMC box is running on my by my TV. Mm-hmm. And so then I could see a notification about if the baby moved or not on my TV.
That is cool. So what kind of a camera was it again?
It's a Hutu camera. It's okay. It's not the best, but the image is pretty good, but the sound isn't so great.
Okay.
But it's good enough.
But still, another great application and potential user case for a device like this. So very, very good, Hugh. Yeah. Yeah. How old's the baby?
She's 5 months.
Yeah.
Now.
My son just turned 4 months old. So yeah, we're thinking about, cause he, you know, at that age, they start to have much more mobility. For instance, I'm not afraid to say it. My son learned what gravity was recently. Whereas before you could barricade him with pillows, but now he's not just turning left and right. I mean, he's full 360, all sorts of motion. And then the other day he was in his little rocker swing and he bucked his way out of that onto some pillows on the floor. And I'm just like, this kid will not be caged. He can't be contained. Society won't tame him. I have to try. So yeah, I'm thinking about getting something like that set up. So we did find it's definitely useful. Dor found the link. We'll make sure to have that in the show notes. Just another fantastic project for your Pi, but Adafruit, as always, has gone above and beyond to provide you with the extra hardware and instructions to get these done, because the team over there really does take those, well, what if we could do this with the Pi? And they really make it possible, not just, that would be cool if that happened one day. So if you haven't been over to Adafruit.com, that's Adafruit.com, be sure to check them out. We've talked about it before. They have a kit. No, it was probably about 15, 20 episodes ago. They have a kit to turn the Pi into a Tor proxy server through some additional hardware. So you may have heard me talk about them before, and that was why.
Very cool.
All right. So that about wraps it up. Hugh, anything else? You want to give a shout out one more time to the website, and then maybe any social media outlets you have that we can contact you at?
Okay, sure. Yeah, I have a Twitter account, and I have a Google Plus account. Both are DistroShare. I also have a Facebook page. I don't think I've done anything on the Facebook page. but I'm more on Twitter, so you can contact me on Twitter. You can contact me at distroshare.com. My email address is contact@distroshare.com. So if you have any questions or suggestions, I'd certainly be willing to hear it. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being on. We do appreciate that. Yeah, so throw him any of that contact information. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about his site in the future, because like he said, it's still very new and a very, very good project the community can definitely get behind.
Thanks. Cool.
All right, so Dor, any closing words, or where can we find you?
I just want to thank everyone who does use podnos.com/Amazon. You guys definitely make the admining part of podnos.com much, much easier, much less to worry about. Don't forget to contact us. It's very easy via email, or you can hit me up on Google Plus. Now, just search for Dor to Dor Geek, all one word, all words, no numbers, Dor to Dor Geek.
Very good, Dor. And yes, please use podnos.com/Amazon. That is our affiliate link for any purchases you might be making on Amazon. If you use podnos.com/Amazon, it's going to put a little bit of that money into our pocket for costs for the website, for the organization. You're not paying a cent more than you would normally. You're not being redirected to another site. It's super easy. You just use podnos.com/Amazon to use all your Amazon purchases, and it does go to help us. We really appreciate it. And our good friend Jonathan Nato, congratulations to him, by the way. I haven't told him personally yet, but on getting Sonar onto DistroWatch, which is fantastic. He, of course, in addition to being the main supporter and developer of Sonar GNU Linux, also heads up the Accessible Computing Foundation, which has a new website as of recent. It's the acf.tk. So no longer go to the acf.co, it is the acf.tk. And you can go to there to support the Accessible Computing Foundation, which, of course, is the foundation getting a technology to those who would otherwise be left behind, people with disabilities. You can become a regular donor to the ACF for as little as $2 a month, and that money definitely goes to help the development of special software into Sonar, and then ultimately available for any distribution. So you're talking screen readers, special motion capture, motion detection software for those who can't hold or physically interact with user interface devices. World of good. And I can tell you, I've been a contributor for about 2 years now or more, and every time I see that money coming out of my account, it gives me a warm feeling knowing that I'm going to contribute toward those type of endeavors. So if you want to support him, that type of activity, definitely go to the acf.tk and sign up to be a regular contributor. In addition to that, two other things. If you go to sonargnulinux.com, You can help seed the torrents for the current version of Sonar GNU Linux, which is now based off of Manjaro Linux, which of course is a derivative, well, not derivative, it itself is based off of Arch Linux. Very, very cool. I have it on a laptop here. I use very, very lightweight. I use it with XFCE. It's a fantastic distro. If you've never really kind of dipped your toe outside of using something Debian-based, I would check it out. It's very cool. Getting used to the Pac-Man package manager is a little difficult in the beginning, but they do have kind of a middleman to help you deal with it. I forget the name of the software at the time, but how to navigate and get the packages that you would need. And it overall would be a good learning experience for you. Also at sonargnulinux.com, you can check out Computers for Sonar, which is a donation program of sorts where if you have some hardware that you're not using, Sonar will pair you up with a person in need for that hardware and help you get that computer directly to them. Now, if you can install Linux on it before, or perhaps Sonar, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Sonar. It can be any distro of your choice. Pre-install it for that person. That would be even better. So it's another great way if you cannot contribute financially to the cause. If you have some old hardware lying around that can be beneficially used by somebody else, then go ahead and check that out. That's at sonargnulinux.com, and they have a link to that on the main file, on the main page, excuse me. And as for Podnuts, as always, if you please send us a voicemail to 7076-PODNUT. That is 707-676-3688. We will play it on the show. Maybe next week or shortly thereafter, we're going to sort of clear the chutes, as it were, of all the email and voicemail we've had backing up since I've been on a micro hiatus, and we'll get all those read. We're not just tossing them away. We have them all. We've got some great stuff from the community. We'd love to hear it, and we have quite a bit to get through, which we will do very soon. I'm going to send an email to the show. Send it to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. There, like I said, much like with the voicemails, I will address any of your questions live on the air and get through those as best as we can. As always, everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you want to contact me directly, just send me an email to cody@podnuts.com, or I'm Cody Cooper on G+, and also at Cody Cooper on Twitter. So thank you very much for listening this week. We really do appreciate all the support. And as always, Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.